Pastor Unger will be preaching the resurrection message. Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to be looking at walk as a Christian, not as a Gentile, an unsaved Gentile. Walk as a Christian, not as an unsaved Gentile. Now, I want to make a correlation for review about what Christ has given to the church. He's given pastors and teachers to the church for the purpose of completing the saint to look like its head Christ, so that the saint can go out and do the work of the ministry, both in the edifying the body and becoming the full characteristics of what Christ is in the New Testament local church. So the pastor's job is to preach the word, to pray for the saint, to work along, and then his job is to step back and let the saints in the congregation work with each other. Amen? Now, I've been reading from Judges, and it's very interesting that the worst judge was, in many scholars' opinion, Samson. And you know what Samson did? He worked alone. He didn't work in a group. He didn't work with others. He worked on his own. And you know what drove his work? Even though the Holy Spirit used him, what drove his work was the flesh. So a lot of times, we're tempted to do everything as a pastor, to be everything. And what I'm finding out is, I just have to play the role of a pastor. That's all I have to do. And then I can trust you all to do the rest. Amen? So what are you doing? How are you fulfilling your role in completing the church? What does that mean? Our head is perfectly proportioned. What's the body look like according to the head? Do we have a baby body with a perfect, completely proportioned head? Or are we growing into the fullness of the stature of our head, Jesus Christ? Which way are we going, church? Forward or backwards? By the way, I am overjoyed when I hear sometimes about how everybody is working together as a church for each other. That is the joy of a pastor, to see people working together, putting themselves under, and doing for others. That's a joy. So now we need to walk as Christians. Ephesians 4. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling hath given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. That ye put off concerning the former conversations of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for all that you've done. We pray that you would be with us today. God, calm our minds so that we can hear your word. For it's only your word that will give lasting comfort to our heart if we're Christians. God, if we're not Christians, may we turn from our sins and turn to you and start that relationship today. You're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So God, as I preach the word, may you use it to stir hearts, to convict souls, and may you change lives through the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. There is something that changed when you were born again. There is a resurrection that happened because there was a resurrection that happened with your head, Jesus Christ. Resurrection morning happened 2,000 years ago, and resurrection morning happened to me as a six-year-old child who turned from trusting in himself and turned to trusting in Christ. Now, what didn't happen is the nasty desires that were still in the body. Notice the character of the unsaved. The steps that determine the course of their lives are dictated by the vanity of their minds, or the worthless emptiness of their own emotions, affections, dispositions, moral inclinations, and reasons. They also have their understanding darkened, their thinking, feeling, and mental disposition of their emotions are ignorant of the consequences of sin. How many of you have ever had empty thoughts, empty-minded thoughts? All of us have, right? Thoughts that were vanity, thoughts that were empty, thoughts that didn't align with our Creator. We've all had those thoughts. We've all had those thoughts of doubt. We've all had those thoughts of discouragement. Yesterday, I was walking my dog, and I was just having a complaining festival with God as I was praying. Why'd you call me here? I'm the world's worst pastor. There's so many better people that can do the job. How could it get any worse? And then halfway through the walk, I heard a lightning strike, and it just downpoured. Downpoured all over me. I couldn't go home. I had to walk through it, and I just started laughing and saying, okay, God, you can make it worse. It's all right. You can make it worse. But you're good, and you're righteous, and I need to trust in you. And it's not about me. It's about, amen? That was an empty, wicked thought that Satan threw into my head at that moment. Have you ever had that? And you need God sometimes to what? Wake you up and say, hey, don't walk like you're unsaved. Don't order the course of your life like you have no king. Don't order the course of your life like you have no power over sin and you have no power over the results of sin. You have a risen Savior that lives today in you and walks alongside of you. So rejoice that you have power over sin. Because you're so good and you're so worthy? No, because He's so good and He's so worthy. And He loved you and He gave His life for you. Those doubts are going to come into your mind. Those vanity thoughts are going to come into your mind. And I'm encouraging, and sometimes you're going to sit in them, because that's what we do as humans. But praise the Lord for a risen Savior that snaps you back into reality, amen? That gives you hope. And then you think you're doing good, and He says, let me show you how weak your flesh is. Here's another problem for you to deal with and trust in me on. Their thinking, feelings, and mental dispositions, their emotions are ignorant of the consequences of sin. Unsaved people don't think of the consequences that their choices brings on themselves and on others. They're totally given over to their desires, and they're happy in chasing their desires. And they can't understand why everybody else isn't happy with them. I mean, they're just following their truth. Christians, we follow the truth. Because Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through Him. What truth are you following? They are also alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. Or they are estranged entirely from the way of life that comes from God. Why? Because they're ignorant that their ignorance that is in them. Or the characteristics of hedonism. What is hedonism? Pleasures of sin. Living after the pleasures of sin that are the results of the blindness and hardness of their hearts. They refuse to see the light of the world because they're so blinded to how their sin makes them feel. Is that how saved people should order their life? Is that how saved people should make their decisions? Look, we have new life in Christ, abundant and free. What glory shines, what joys are mine. What wondrous blessings I see, the past with its sin of searching and strife. Forever gone, there's a bright new dawn For I have Christ, whatever. I forgot the end. I have him in me. I don't have to live by the blindness of my emotions. I don't have to live by the blindness of my desires. So the goal of the unsaved is to live to do unrighteousness because of the callous hardness of their desires. The hardness of their desires have grown so fixed that honor and shame means nothing to them, and they are given over to fleshly excesses to perform all sorts of lewdness with greediness. That's what the verse is saying here that we just read. Man, they're so given over to the desires of their flesh, they've lost the ability to have shame about their decisions. Hello? If you live given over to the desires of the flesh, Christian, you're going to lose your softness towards shame about wrong deeds. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to do things that are not according to the new life, but we don't need to lose our shame about that. And we don't need to come in humbleness before the throne of God and say, I am living a life that is not pleasing to you. And that's shameful for a Christian to do. Have you lost your shame, Christian? Is there an area in your life that you've excused so much that going back to when you first got saved and how on fire you were for God and how close your first love was for Christ, understanding that he saved you, have you gotten so far away from him that there's areas of your life that you've lost your shame in? All of us have those areas, don't we? We've excused certain parts of our lives as, well, that's just me and people need to get used to it. What about my body belonging to Christ? What about Christ through the Spirit empowering me to do the fruit of my salvation that is worked in the Spirit, living and being yielded to in my life? How are you walking? We can all sing the praises of our glorious risen Savior, but what's the reality of your glorious risen Savior in the daily decisions you make in life? Notice the Christian's course described. The Christian's course described in verse number 20. But ye have not so learned Christ. The privilege of the convert's position. Remember in chapter 2, the five things that Gentiles didn't have because they had no Messiah. They were aliens. They were estranged from the commonwealth of Israel. They were strangers from the covenant of promise, with no hope and no God in this world. In 2:13 we read, now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ, what did it accomplish for you? It took you from this position of estrangement from the covenant promises of God, and then the blood of Christ was given and it gave you a new direct relationship with the Heavenly Father, that you could be joint heirs with Jesus Christ and all of the wonderful gifts that God has provided for you because of Christ's death on the cross and Christ's resurrection from that death. Do you know Christ? Are you trusting in Christ? See, the problem that Christians have and that I have and we all have together as a church is we stop trusting in Christ. So Christ has to break us. And that breaking process is not fun, but it needs to happen. And we need to pray for it at times. God, I'm not thinking properly. I need more breaking. Why? Because I know that the only worthwhile life to live as a Christian is a life yielded to you. Not yielded to myself, but yielded to you. When you came to Jesus Christ and you learned Jesus Christ At the moment of your salvation, you stop trusting in yourself and you put full trust in who? Who'd you put full trust in, church? You put full trust in Christ. So when problems come in your life as a Christian, why don't we, did y'all hear me say we? I didn't say you, I said we. We means me. Why do we stop putting our trust in Christ? Why do we try to work the Christian life through the energy of the flesh? When the blood of Christ has given us so much privilege in Him. The privilege of the person of Jesus, 4:21. If so be that ye have heard of Him, and ye have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus. Jesus of Nazareth, the provider of truth. Turn to Matthew chapter 11 and keep your hand in Ephesians 4, but let's look at Matthew chapter 11, 28 through 30. Let's read it together. You don't have to read it out loud, but once you're there, let's read it. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. What does that mean? Take what joins the yoke that joins two animals together, specifically probably oxen, sometimes donkeys, but most of the time oxen or bovines together. And to do a work, right? That's what the yoke does. It connects two things together. What is he saying? Hey, be connected to me. Be connected to me. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Woo. So give God the lead. We don't like to give God the lead. We like to take the lead. That's what's in our flesh. We like to take the lead. So we don't learn of Him. We learn of ourselves. How fun is that, Christian? The deeper you dig into yourselves, the more you find out, I don't want to learn anything else about myself. I want to learn more about Christ. Because learning of myself is just bringing discouragement and depression, really. And when you learn about yourself, you feel like digging a big hole and jumping up in the hole and hiding from the world. That's how I feel. That's how you feel. We need to learn Christ. Who has taught Christ? Well, He's taught truth Himself. Take my yoke upon me and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Man, Christ, that meek and lowly in His emotions for you and His desires to take control, His meek and lowly. He's never going to force you, Christian. He's not going to say, you have to do this. He's going to be meek. He's going to be lowly. He's going to say, I'm here. I'm here. Come to me. Stop facing this by yourself and come to me. That's not how your flesh works. It makes its demands and it requires you to fulfill those demands. It never stops talking, does it? Do you want to find rest in your inner man? Do you want to find rest that nobody else can provide? Now, I am saying this. Pastor Unger made such a great point last week. He said, a good pastor leads. He doesn't drive. Because you don't drive sheep. You lead sheep. Okay? And it hit me. When I try to take over situations, you know what I do? Oh, I drive. I got to do this, and I got to do this, and I got to show my care this way. And it drives people nuts, including myself. But if I step back and let Jesus do the work, amen? If I just follow Jesus, I don't have to live with all my mistakes because I drove too hard. And you don't have to live with all the guilt from you driving and trying to accomplish something. Doesn't mean be lazy. Everybody understands that. Christ will ask you to do some things that you're uncomfortable with. And in faith, you do them. What I'm saying is, oh, I got to fix this. I got to fix this. I got to fix this. I got to fix that. Yeah. You know what? Let Christ fix it. He can do a lot better job than you can. He'll teach you what to do. He'll teach you what to say and what to think. For my yoke is easy and my burden's light. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 4 and see what else we can glean from this. Remember that Jesus said unto him in John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. We are to hear him and be taught by him. The person of truth indwells us. He lives within us at the point of our salvation. Secondly, the person of truth, he'll lead us into all truth. John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So when you're going through a trial, when you're going through a trouble, if you're a Christian, you hear the voice of Christ. Amen? You choose to ignore it. That's what happens. You know the decisions you're supposed to make because you're a child of God. And he's not going to ever stop calling you if you're a child of God. He's going to continue to call you. Now you have a choice to make. Are you going to listen to his voice? Or are you going to go your own way? The apostles' part in passing on truth. The church of Ephesus was established in 55 AD, some 25 years after Christ's death. So how did they hear Christ's teaching? 1 Corinthians 11:1, Paul says, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. 2 Timothy 3:14-15 says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. The church has a duty to present truth. That's my job. I have a twofold job. Pray for the needs of God's people that he's allowed me to lead to him, and preach to the people God has given me the privilege of leading to him. Twofold job right there. Pray and preach. Pray and preach. Pray and preach. See God work. Equip through the praying and preaching the people that are members of Bethel Baptist Church to come alongside each other. And for me to step back and to allow and to be blessed by you, the church, feeding and growing each other in truth. As I preach and teach, you listen and obey and follow. Pray, preach. What truth? What truth? So some 2,000 years ago, Christ raised from the dead. So we're not actually having Christ's physical body preaching here. Well, in a sense we are, because in the local New Testament church, this is his physical representation on this church. He's the head, where the body, where the members fit into the head. And he works through his local New Testament church. And we're indwelled with Christ. So what truth do we go? Well, the once delivered truth. We don't have to make up new truth. Amen? Now, if you're called into a certain field of following, I think it's great to follow the passions that God gives into your heart to know truth. All right? truth in biblical ways. But as a pastor, I have to run to the Bible for truth. I've been tempted to go to other things, to read other things to find truth. And there is truth in it, and it aligns to the Bible. But what I found out is, if I run to books, and I don't run to the Bible, I'm not equipped to do my job. I got to run to the Bible. And if those books point me to the Bible, amen for that. Okay? But I've got to run to the Bible. Beloved, Jude 1:3, when I gave all diligence to write unto you a common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith, or for the word of God, or for the teaching that we follow, which was once delivered unto the saints. Hey, the Bible is where we find truth. And we can use documents that point to the Bible, but if the documents don't point to the Bible and they point to some man making an edict in some funny hat, we don't have to listen to that. We listen to truth, the Word of God. That's where we find comfort. The putting off and putting on. Now look, let me be very clear. There are times that physically and emotionally we need help to be able to get to the truth. Everybody understand that? I am not downplaying mental illness. I'm not downplaying mental stress. I'm not downplaying any of that. A Christian is able to go to a doctor for physical things. He's able to go to a doctor or she for whatever to help them. But their main focus is, how is this bringing me to truth? How is this bringing me to a mindset where I'm able to understand truth? Does everybody understand the difference? I'm not going to rely on this. I'm going to look to this as a means to the end. And the means in the path I'm trying to get to is being able to study and know truth and be changed by truth. All right? So everybody hear that? I'm not a pastor that doesn't believe in doctors and medicine. I'm not that pastor. I am a pastor that says don't make medicine and doctors your idol. Does everybody understand that? There's a difference. Go to God. The putting off and putting on of the Christian. So how do we understand the reality of truth? Let's look at verse 22. That you put off concerning the former conversations of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So what do we do? Well, we put off and we put on. General thoughts. There's 3 points. 22 is put off, 23 be renewed, and 24 is put on. These are commands. This is applied teaching. These commands are imperatives that have, like right now, let me explain what I'm saying by this. If there was a fire in the back of the room, I wouldn't say, would y'all pray about leaving? I would say, get up and leave. There's a fire. What is this saying to us? It's not saying pray about it. It's saying do it. I heard a great illustration of this, and it was preaching on the seventh commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. And in it, there was an illustration about the man liked to go out in the fall, and he liked to have picnics in the fall. But if you live in Canada or the northwest part of the United States, what always comes with your picnics in the fall? Especially if you have pop. Those nasty wasps. How many of you, those wasps. Oh, I hate that, don't you? So what they did is they bought a fly swatter, and when the wasp would come, boom! Bad thoughts are to be handled like that as a Christian. We're not to pray and try to figure out why we're having these thoughts. Why am I having these thoughts? Oh God, take these thoughts. He said, no, through the power of the Spirit, you could just kill them. Don't let Satan beat you up and say, how could you be a Christian and have these thoughts? Through the power of the Spirit, kill them. And stay in constant prayer until they're dead. And they're never dead. So you got to kill them again. Oh. That's what being renewed in the mind does. It's not something that you pray about. It's something that through the power of the Spirit you do. You pray for the power of the Spirit to accomplish what God has commanded you to do. And then you watch the Spirit do the work in power. Satan has evil days for the Christians where the fiery darts feel very intensified. You don't have to worry about why you're going through it. You're going through it because we have a roaring lion enemy that is seeking to rip you apart as a Christian. And he doesn't want you to accomplish God's will for your life. He wants you to be defeated and discouraged, or he wants you to give up. So he intensifies his attacks at times in your life. You run to God for the power to do what God has commanded you to do in those times, and you kill those thoughts. It would be very good for some of us to start memorizing scripture about the goodness of God. Amen? It'd be very good for us to start memorizing scripture about the power of God. And that's how we kill it. We kill it with truth. So put off based on truth. Put off the former conversation. Literal conversation. Speaking is a big part of your behavior. What you say identifies what's in the heart. Now, I'm not talking about power of positive thinking. I'm talking about stating what's truth in the Word of God. The old man or old nature we were all born with, when Adam took our race into sin. And guess what each one of us are? We're all part of the Adamic Adam's race. We confirm that we have an old nature at a very early age. We confirm it because we always want what we want at a very early age. Before we even have memory, we know what we want when we want it. Right? We don't go to hell because we have an old nature. We go to hell because we don't confess and repent of the sin that confirms our old nature. This could be known as the age of accountability. So what happens? I have an old nature. I confirm that I have an old nature very early in life, even before I've developed cognitive abilities to think or understand or have memory. I don't go to hell because I have an old nature. I go to hell because I don't repent and confirm to God that I have that old nature. Does everybody see the difference there? And that's a different age for different people. So, what is this old nature? Well, first in verse 22, which is corrupt. That is the present tense. Our old nature that is presently corrupt. We are saved sinners with an old nature that is corrupt. That's why, if we'll go to Romans chapter 6 quick, I'll show you something from the Word of God. Verse 19. I speak after the manner of men because of the weakness or infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members, your thoughts, your emotions, your wills, to be servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants of God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So I have this weak flesh. I have this old nature. I have this old nature that throws doubts at me all the time through the prince and the power of this air. Now, may I say this? And I'm going to say this very boldly because we need to hear it. There's a lot of things that our world presents to us that feeds the old nature that can cause Christians to be shackled in sin. You need to watch what you watch. It wouldn't hurt us Christians to cut a lot of TV back in our lives. Oh, if you can't say amen, you better say ouch. It would help a lot of Christians to watch what music you let enter into these ears. It helped a lot of Christians to watch the vain philosophies of this world that are presented to you as you're trying to get an education, to make money so you can live in this world. All right? All I'm asking you to do is watch. Because there are things that are so available to us that feed the old nature. Okay? Now, Pastor James has started to do some things with his girls. He started to go to the mall. And when I'm in the mall, I have to tell you something. I am sick the whole time. I have butterflies in my stomach, and I love taking my girls there, but I hate the mall. I hate the mall. But there's good things that we can do. I have no idea why I just said that. So skip that whole. There was going somewhere, but it's done now. Why? Because, man, I just feel worldliness is all around us. And what they're trying to push into our minds. And there's some really good things you can do in the mall together with your kids. So have a good time. But guarding your heart, guarding your mind, guarding your thought process, guarding so many things. Why? Because our old nature is real, friend. And Christian, you still have it. And it still wants you to yield to it. Right? The world doesn't accept what Christians accept anymore. If we're Christians and we're looking for our identity in what people think of us and how they accept us, we're going to end up living a Christian life in the character of the old nature. Now, what I'm not saying is take dead religion and replace dead religion. I'm saying have a fervent walk with Christ. Put off the old nature, put on Christ. Does everybody see the difference there? So I'm not going to be detailed in what I think is sinful because a lot of people don't have the same struggles I have, and it'd be wrong for me to say that's sinful for them and not sin. And then there's stuff that I don't struggle with that you struggle with. Christ will show you that. Amen? Put off the old man. Put off the old man because he's corrupt. We have a deceitful lust. We are to put off our pre-conversion practice and our pre-conversion nature. In our pre-conversion days, we were under the system that was under the direction of Satan. As a sinner, we are locked into that system. That's what your old nature was locked into. That system that was getting its direction from Satan and that your old nature desired. That's what you were locked into before salvation. But Christ has rose from the dead and has won victory over sin, and he gives us that opportunity as Christians to yield to the power that is from the cross and through the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's given us that opportunity through salvation to put off that old man. Three, we also walked in the vanity of our minds in the old man. Christian, are you walking and making your decisions in the emptiness that has nothing to offer us? Or are you making your decisions in light of Scripture? Which way are you going? The time we are regenerated is an event. This initially was done at the new birth. In verse 24, we see, we put on the new man. We are in Christ. You put off. At the time you were saved, you made a decision to put off the old man and to put on the new man. Now you yield to the old man, or you yield to the new man. This isn't something that you lose your salvation over. This is something that you have the privilege to make a choice in as a Christian. Before you got saved, you just lived in the old man. There was no way that you could ever live with the mind of Christ. Now that you're a Christian, you have the ability to live with the mind of Christ. What's the key? To presently, actively be renewed in your mind. We have a habitual corruption of the old nature. We need to be habitually renewed in the spirit of our mind. We are to be renewed in the spiritual knowledge of the Word of God in our minds. Colossians 3:10, renewed in the knowledge after the image of Him that created Him. This has to do with knowledge, specific knowledge of Christ. 1 Corinthians 2:16, but we have the mind of Christ. 2 Peter 3:18, but growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The growth in the knowledge of the Lord based on the Scripture helps us to know Christ. Mankind is created in the image of God. He lost the ability to understand how he was created in the image at the fall. But Christ has provided a sacrifice for you. And because he's provided a sacrifice for you, it is through that sacrifice, that resurrection of Jesus Christ, that now you can have connection to the Word of God, and you have a spirit indwelling you that connects you back to renew your mind into what is true about you instead of what is falsely told to you from this world. Are you being renewed in the mind? How does this renewing happen? Colossians 3:16, let the word of philosophy dwell in you richly. Let the word of positive affirmations dwell in you richly. Let the word of self-worth dwell in you richly. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Ephesians 5:18, be filled with the Spirit. The renewed or renewal through the word of God and the Spirit that lives in you takes faith and trust in Christ. Put on the new man, holiness of truth or holiness in truth. We cried out in repentance to God and humbleness. We at the point of salvation positionally put off the old nature and through humility positionally put on the new nature. Practically, we through the Spirit and the Word are renewed as we put off the old desires of the old man and put on Christ. That's why he raised himself from the dead, so that you could walk in newness of life. Christian, how's your walk? Are you walking like the unsaved with no hope and no victory? Or are you walking like you are in Christ, resurrected from the power of sin and the death? Joint heirs with Jesus Christ, amen. Stop listening to the lies of Satan. I'm telling me this first and you this second, because he lies to me too, trust me. Oh, and I fall into those lies and it makes me happy. It never does. But when we get into the Word and we're renewed in the mind, we see how much we have in Jesus Christ, and what do? We cry out with thanksgiving and praise for our mighty Savior. Put off the old man, put on the new by the renewing of your mind in the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit.